economic year that was 2021. From Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler and for David Brancaccio. We had a new president in office in January. The ebbs and flows of the pandemic and opening and closing of the economy. For those of us in the economics business, there was plenty to talk about. Here to do some more of that on the last day of the year is Christopher Lowe. He's chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
So we're sort of looking back on this year and thinking about the things that happened in 2021. Economically, what stands out to you?
Well, economically, it's got to be the fact that GDP growth failed to slow down as much as expected. The economy was still roaring at year end. And as a result, we're looking at the lowest levels of unemployment in a really long time, including just yesterday, the lowest readings on jobless claims, the four-week average anyway, since the late 60s.
We also talk about wage growth. We've talked about that quite a bit. At the same time, we have inflation, right? I mean, we can't sort of ignore those things going hand in hand this year.
That's right. And, the low unemployment rate, the fact that it is putting some pressure on wages is the reason the Fed fully expected to be going into 2022 with full accommodation going. Instead, they've been removing accommodation and they're prepping the markets for rate hikes around the middle of the year.
That's what I was going to ask you, too. Is that sort of the expectation from the Fed looking into the first, I guess, quarter or two of 2022?
It is. And the debate in the market is whether the Fed, in fact, starts raising rates immediately as soon as quantitative easing ends in March, or if they wait until June. No one expects they're going to wait any longer than that. And then that would open up the possibility if they start in June, they could hike three times this year. If they go in March, they could even do four.
One of the things that we've been talking about a bunch is the sort of widening of the gap even more that inflation brings to inequality, that folks, poorer households, have to spend more of their money on the things in that bucket. Is that something you're concerned about?
Absolutely. And it's definitely a primary concern at the Fed. It's part of why they adopted a new framework 2 years ago. They're very much focused on it. And even as we look at wages accelerating, we have wage growth that's approaching 5% a year. Of course, that's failing to keep up with inflation, which is running at over 6% a year. So as a result, poorer families are falling further behind.
Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you, Andy, and happy new year.
That inflation strain also shows up in what folks are paying for their living situation. The share of first-time homebuyers hit a historic low last month. And the flip side is that more millennials with relatively high incomes are continuing to rent. That's according to a new study from the listing service Rent Cafe. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more on what that company calls lifestyle renters.
The study found a spike in rental applications from people with above-average incomes who were in their late 20s to early 40s, says Doug Ressler with Rent Cafe.
Maybe 5-6 years ago, they would be out buying homes, but two things have come into play. First of all, the availability of housing, and also the astronomical rise in house prices.
The trend has grown over recent decades, but during the pandemic, it expanded beyond pricey coastal metros to smaller and mid-sized cities. Economist Gray Kimbrough at American University says while renting has its benefits, it can deprive young people of an important opportunity to build wealth, and the shift ripples through the market.
People might be bidding up older apartment buildings that used to be rented by people with lower incomes. And so that was much more affordable housing when those people weren't going after that housing.
After dipping in 2020, rents rose sharply this year, increasing by double digits in some markets. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Thousands of people received a surprise gift last week when the European bank Santander accidentally deposited $176 million across 75,000 transactions. The company said it's trying to recuperate the mistaken payments, some that went into accounts operated by rival banks. Santander said there's actually a standard in place for recovering the funds called the bank error recovery process, but asking another bank to ask its customers to give money back? It sounds complicated.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Travel headaches that started on Christmas Eve are now full-blown migraines, and it's not just airlines canceling flights, although there's plenty of that. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
There are widespread flight cancellations today for the seventh day in a row, and cancellations are already mounting for tomorrow. JetBlue trimmed its schedule through mid-January. The airlines blame weather and staffing problems because of skyrocketing COVID infections. Now the Wall Street Journal says the FAA might run short of air traffic control operators as well, making flight disruptions even worse. Meanwhile, the CDC is warning people not to take cruises, even if they're vaccinated and boosted. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Brexit meant big changes to trade between the United Kingdom and European Union. It's been nearly a year since new regulations started taking effect. Now, data for the first three quarters of this year show that imports remain below pre-Brexit levels, but you also have to factor in how COVID has hit global trade. The BBC's Jessica Parker has visited three companies in the Netherlands who do business with Britain.
Machines snipping the stalks of Gerbera daisies, arriving from the vast greenhouse next door via automated trolleys. Extra paperwork after Brexit has meant extra costs for Dutch grower Colours of Nature. More checks are coming, but
the UK is an important market for us.
Sales manager Eric van der Spek says they'll keep sending flowers to Britain.
When we stop exporting to UK, we lose about 30% of our market. So we cannot sell that flowers to other places. And we don't want to, because the English people are flower-minded.
Onto the factory floor of MSP Onions. Forklift trucks pile packs of onions onto lorries. UK-bound produce will also face new controls delayed by the British government, as the sales director Lindert Moordijk explains.
From 2022, we expect that we have to do physical inspections on the onions, which gives us also more paperwork.
And what will this mean for your business?
The customers now, they know the flexibility of the Dutch onion pack houses, and they ordered, for example, 11 o'clock this morning, and the truck will leave around 3 o'clock. If between 11 and 3 you have to pack it and you have to order an agent to do the physical check, that's quite challenging.
But at this big firm, where I can see thousands of onions rolling off of vast conveyor belts, they're also committed to the British market. The sound from a giant touchscreen computer tablet. The CEO of Experience Table, Edith Zouderent, shows me how it works. These are used in places including elderly care homes to help people with dementia. Edith says exporting to Britain was a dream come true, but she now plans to do so less.
I'm not totally convinced that I will conquer all those extra difficulties that will come for us to export to the UK because of the extra rules and all the extra forms.
COVID has also made business harder, but Edith is naturally upbeat as we pick a song off the Experience Table.
Let's see, Jerry Lee Lewis, I think.
A bit of dancing ensues. Fuller implications of Brexit will take time to emerge. It's all still in motion.
It was Jessica Parker with our editorial partner, the BBC. There is a bit of positive news on the moving things around front. Most of the holiday packages handled by the U.S. Postal Service made it to their destination on time this year. The package tracking company ShipMatrix said that nearly 97% of the Postal Service's shipments were on time during a two-week period in December. That is a far cry from last year, when millions of packages arrived late. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.